The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get up, get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up and fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from 2 Peter chapter 3. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I will send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes one who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 39 of Isaiah, the one right before our text, is one of the great bits of dark comedy in the Old Testament. And the perfect example of a leadership that has made its own separate peace. King Hezekiah had been sick, and Assyria was outside Jerusalem's door. Isaiah had told him to prepare. But the king begged the prophet, and the Lord added 15 years to Hezekiah and delivered him from Assyria. Hearing that Hezekiah had been delivered, the Babylonians, soon to do away with the Assyrians and take over for them, sent envoys. And Hezekiah, the reigning genius, opened his whole house to these envoys to brag. As Isaiah records, he showed them his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oils, the whole of his armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. The Old Testament equivalent of making China the most favored trading nation. Please come plunder everything that we've got. And when Isaiah pushed the king on why he would do such a thing and told them that nothing would be left for his sons, Hezekiah shrugged. "There will be peace and security in my day," you said, Isaiah. And so ends the prophecy of Isaiah to the people of his day. The prophecy that started with a call to make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes until cities lie waste and without inhabitants and houses without people. And though a tenth remains in it, it will be burned again. That prophecy has been fulfilled. Chapter 40 is a new call, a prophecy to a different people. This is the prophecy to those who were in exile, to those who bore the cost of Israel's unfaithfulness and the corruption of the house of David. This is the start of what we called last week 2nd Isaiah. Yahweh, Israel's God, has always proclaimed two things to Israel. The first was his steadfast love for them. In Hebrew, it's the word chesed. And second, he proclaimed that he, Yahweh, was the God of all the nations, the only one. There is no other. Yet the exile, at least on its face, would seem to bring both of those things into question. If the Davidic kingdom is smashed and the temple is no more, the leadership is taken into a foreign land and the people themselves are plundered, would this not be proof that God has forsaken his people? Or, at the least, that if you could say that God still loves his people, he wasn't the God of all. That Marduk of the Babylonians would seem to be greater. This is the call of the prophet to that people. This is the call of the prophet to those for whom despair might be the correct human response. A call to those for whom dark comedy is no longer funny. And it's set up as a four-stanza hymn, each stanza taking on a specific part of Isaiah's new call. The opening two verses contain the heart of God's word for those sitting in the darkness of despair. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, her iniquity pardoned. She has received from the Lord double for all her sins. It's a word of a steadfast lover to his beloved after a terrible fight. And while such words might often be sweet nothings, that's not the promise nor the history of Yahweh. When Yahweh promises a land, he gives you a land. When Yahweh promises descendants, he brings an entire nation out of slavery in Egypt. When Yahweh promises an eternal throne, well, we'll get to that. But to the Jerusalem that is no more, that sits by the river weeping, prophet, speak tenderly. Cry not loud pronouncements, but cry tears. I have taken more out of you than I should, double. And I, the Lord, will restore. No longer will the Lord be at war with you, but your war is ended. No longer will your sins be held against you, but your iniquity is pardoned. Comfort, my people. The steadfast love of the Lord endures for you. How will this be? Sweet nothings are great, but look, we've got no army, we've got no leadership, we've got no strength or power or law or really anything. A voice cries in the wilderness. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain made low, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. How shall the people of God be restored? By the personal intervention of God. The road to exile, borrowing from the New Testament, the road to a far country, is up and down and over hills and through valleys of the shadow of death. But the road to redemption, God will make plain. The hills that I climbed while I was running away from God, when we thought we were at full strength, or those valleys that we charged into full of confidence, there's no way, when you're heading back in despair, that we'd make it through those. But the Lord will make a highway in the desert for his people to return to him. And this highway has been established right there on that cross. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the despairing, the broken, those in a far country, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The repentance road is a short one. The Lord runs to meet you. The crucified has paid double and declared peace. God has personally come down and made straight your path to him. All flesh shall see it together, and all flesh has seen this work of God. There, on that cross, the glory of the Lord is revealed. The full love for his people. His mighty work to bring them all out of a far country, to bring them out of the wilderness. When the mouth of the Lord has spoken, it's never just sweet nothing. Because God's word is action itself. The troubles of the age always seem to be completely beyond the ability of God's people to deal with. God's people are always without an army or leadership or strength or anything that is thought to be eternal by human standards. Powers of the world, the powers that be, always feel unshakable. Yet the prophets would always tell Israel to look to Yahweh. He is your mighty fortress. But the kings would always try and cut deals with neighboring kings. And the people would set up Baals and Asherah poles in the high places, cutting deals with neighboring gods. They always looked more sure. The Lord always looked so weak, especially on a cross. How is this the Lord of all nations? And a voice tells Isaiah to cry. And as Isaiah speaks back, "What shall I cry?" Maybe once bitten, twice shy. After receiving a terrible call the first time, he's not jumping up and down, "Here am I, send me," this one. What's the message this time? "Remind my people, all flesh is grass. Everything that you think is strong and powerful and enduring, everything that you think satisfies, that testifies that the Lord is weak and not the Lord of the nations, it's all grass. Everything you think that is beautiful and adorned forever, it will all, like the flowers of the field, fade. Empires, nations, peoples, languages, customs, ways, the grass withers and the flowers fade. When the Lord breathes on them, they're done. When he called them forth, they came. And when he says, go, they're done. All these things are surely grass." I'm going to take 1 second to highlight something. What our translators have translated as beauty, all the beauty is like the flowers of the field, is that Hebrew word kesed. What we typically translate as God's steadfast love. The Lord's chesed, his steadfast love is there on the cross for all to see. There may not be any beauty in it, but that cross stands across all of time. The beauty of the flowers of the field, the powers that be here today and gone tomorrow. Cry to God's people, no longer to be blind, but to see. The grass withers and the flower fades. All the things that look to us, none of them endure. None of them can do what they promise. They all take more effort than we get back from them. Keeping an idol is hard work. But the word of the Lord endures forever. What God has said he will do, he does. He has done. Your iniquities have been pardoned. The highway has been built. Though hordes of devils fill the land, all eager to devour us, they cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage. One little word subdues him. And God speaks his word. It happens. And it continues to happen into the age of ages. So, go up into a high mountain, Zion, herald of good news. No longer be in despair. The steadfast love of God is steadfast. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Today, he comes in mercy. Today, he comes speaking comfort. Today, he gathers people from the far countries that they have been scattered to. Today, their paths are made straight. Today, that voice still cries in the wilderness, testifying to the lost. Today, the word still stands. Babylon doesn't, nor Rome, nor Constantinople, nor the Berlin Wall, nor any of the great flowers of the field. Christ is proclaimed in every land. God's love for you is steadfast. Tomorrow, behold, the Lord comes again with might, and his arm rules for him. Tomorrow, he comes in glory. And his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. Today is a day of grace. Today is a day to petition for that mercy. Because on that day, everyone gets what they deserve. Today is the day to come back to the fold. Because today, he tends his flock like a shepherd and carries his lambs in his arms. Today, Christ is our good shepherd. Tomorrow, the judge. Hear his voice today. And it might look weak today, but it's not. The word of the Lord endures. The only word that does. It accomplishes what it says. That eternal throne has been established. And today it rules in mercy because it wants to grant you grace. Tomorrow, all flesh will see the glory. Let that be for you comfort, pardon, and hope. Amen.